Good morning. I'm Stephen. I'm the pastor of Community Life, one of the elders. It is an honor and privilege to study God's word with you this morning. Don't worry, be happy. There's the sermon. Y'all can go home. Wouldn't it be great if that one statement could relieve all your anxiety? If we just sang to each other, don't worry, be happy, and all our worries disappeared, wouldn't that be great? All of us experience anxiety, and the world has many cures to offer us, many solutions for ways to get rid of anxiety. There are self-help books, The Worry Cure, 7 steps to stop worrying from stopping you. There's the timeless classic by Dale Carnegie, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. And we have self-help experts, like one of my favorites, big and tall Tony Robbins. Tony encourages people to unleash the power within. If you're able to dig down deep and harness that negative energy for good, you can change your emotional well-being. And Tony says, all you have to do is chant, I will believe, not doubt. I will lead, not follow. And deep down in our hearts, we often recognize that the techniques we pursue for peace and healing are merely temporary. We spend countless resources trying to better ourselves, yet we remain restless and anxious. Is there truly a cure that can free our hearts from anxiety? Is there something that can untangle that barbed wire that suffocates and squeezes the life from our souls? The Apostle Paul offers us a unique and divine solution, and it's one that stands in stark contrast to what the world could ever offer to us. So let's explore Paul's final words of encouragement to the Philippians and see if we can untangle the stronghold of worry in our hearts. Let's pray for God's help. Our Father in heaven, we need you. We need your help. Help us, Lord, to receive all that you would have for us in Christ Jesus. To trust that you are the one in control. Help us to resist the temptation that we are in control. And help me, Lord, to love your people, to feed your people, to be compassionate. Help me to speak of Christ and to do it with boldness. We ask all these things by the power of your Holy Spirit in the mighty name of King Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Are you ready to receive this morning's message with great eagerness? Yeah. And examine the scriptures to see if what I am saying is true? We're continuing our journey of the battle of the heart, rightly ordering our affections. 2 weeks ago, you were called to explore how to discipline and align your affections with God's love. And last week, you listened carefully and learned the secret of joy. Yes, joy even in the midst of suffering. And if you missed those sermons, don't worry. They're available online. So today we're going to discover how you can experience the third fruit of the Spirit. So we've had love, joy. Now we're going to talk about peace versus anxiety. So here's the plan we'll follow. In verses 4 through 7, we are encouraged to rejoice and pray always because the Lord is near. In verses 8 and 9, the Lord calls us to put our faith into action because he is with us every step of the way. Our big idea? Fix your mind on Christ and calm your anxious heart. Fix your mind on Christ and calm your anxious heart. So there are two powerful ways we can calm our anxious hearts, and they are by rejoicing and praying. That's our first point, rejoice and pray, because the Prince of Peace is near to us. Rejoice and pray because the Lord is near. First, Paul tells the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And the first way to calm our hearts is to rejoice in the Lord always. The church in Philippi was facing many trials. They were burdened with anxiety. Their hearts are heavy. One of their own was gravely ill. The message of God's grace was rejected, and two leading members of the congregation were at odds with each other. And when these things happen at Trinity Bible Church, because sometimes they happen, I get anxious. Do you get anxious when these things happen? I find myself wondering, when will the next trial come? What if more of our members fall ill? What will happen to our church if we don't resolve the conflicts that threaten it? This is when Paul would remind me and you, just as he did the Philippians. He would say repeatedly, and he says it repeatedly, rejoice in the Lord. And he reminds the Philippians, not just once, but 9 times he tells them to rejoice always. That's like me telling you, don't even sweat it. Take it one day at a time. I say it to you over and over. Paul is saying, rejoice always. You are to be joyful because your citizenship is in heaven. An eternal paradise full of glory awaits you. Think about that. The work that God has begun in you, he will bring it to completion. And that is why we can rejoice in the Lord. Do we believe that? How we rejoice varies from person to person. All of us have unique temperaments and dispositions. Some of us go through life with a permagrin, a constant smile upon our faces, radiating joy. And some of us carry a permafrown, letting the world know that not everything is just A-okay. And I'm guessing that Paul wasn't always throwing his hands in the air and praising God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul said, "For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." He says later in the same letter, "And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches." Paul was intimately familiar with the conflict within each of us, the battle for our very hearts, the challenge of rightly ordering our affections. In Romans chapter 7, Paul says, "For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing." And how does he conclude chapter 7 with his thoughts? How does he conclude his thoughts on his struggles between his mind and flesh? He says, who will deliver me from this wretched body of death? Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So hear me when I say this. Come in. One of the divine solutions that Paul reveals to us to bring peace to our troubled hearts is to rejoice in the Lord always. This confirms that you trust that Jesus is the one who is in absolute control of your life. I mean, don't you long to have peace? To have peace with one another? To have peace within your marriages? Within our relationships? We hunger to experience the divine peace that our Lord desires to pour into our lives. But to truly walk in this peace, you must fix your minds upon Christ. Christ is the foundation that we set our hope upon. Only Jesus can calm your anxious heart. Come in again. Listen closely. It is by the participation of God's Spirit, His Holy Spirit, that we are empowered to do these things. It is only by His grace and in all humility that we can exhibit divine reasonableness and gentleness to one another, that we can love one another. And that's verse 5. Let your reasonableness, your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Paul reminds us of a glorious promise. Because the Lord is at hand, because the Lord is very near, let your reasonableness, your gentleness be known to everyone. And I love how Paul beautifully weaves rejoicing with reasonableness. He tells us that we are to rejoice always, regardless of the circumstances. But not only that, our gentleness should shine forth for all to see. It's challenging to be reasonable when our hearts are burdened with joylessness. When anxieties and troubles weigh us down. And trust me when I say this, it's so much easier to be gentle with others when our hearts are rejoicing in the Lord. We are called to live out this reasonableness with anticipation and hope, the hope that our Lord Jesus Christ will soon return to make all things new. Yes, the coming of our Lord is near, but also remember that King Jesus is interceding for you at this very moment. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, He is more than qualified to raise us from the pits of despair and worry. He is near to us, so very close to us. Jesus Himself promised, I am with you always to the end of the age. When our hearts are squeezed so tight that we cannot breathe, and loneliness and fear begin to creep into our souls, when we find ourselves asking, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen tomorrow? How do I handle this situation? How do I deal with this person amidst the chaos? We are to trust that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Bless you, Josh. I love being near God's people so much that my hand, it just seems to not be able to control itself. It just gently taps people on the shoulders. Sometimes I might give a little too hard of a tap on the shoulder. But take that as a sign of love and deep connection. Because I desire to be close to God's people because I know how much our Heavenly Father longs to be close to you, especially in times of fear and uncertainty. Imagine Jesus right now. Imagine Jesus reaching to you with arms wide open, gently saying, "Come to me." Let's draw near to him with confidence, for he longs to be with you. He longs to be near to his children. You are never alone if you are in Christ Jesus. Take that to the bank. They would have to give you an endless supply of money. You are never alone, ever, when you are in Christ Jesus. And this is why Paul makes the second step even easier by urging us to pray always. I like to say, Paul, this is too easy, man. All I got to do is rejoice always and pray always. Easy. Verses 6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So easy, right? Rejoice always. Let your reasonableness, gentleness be known to everyone. Do not be anxious about anything. Pray always. Too easy. No. These commands are not too easy. By the power of the Holy Spirit, they're easy. But Christian, because you are in Christ, the Lord is very near. And so you don't have to be anxious about anything. Think about that. That's why it could be easy. Because Jesus has done the work. What is anxiety? What is anxiety? It's when you fear that something bad might happen. Something in the future that could harm you or turn your life upside down. Anxiety is a signal from your heart that you do not believe that God is in control. It's a fear that some situation will come and bring chaos into your life. But we are not to fear, we are to be encouraged, because Paul said to trust in the one who holds your future in his hands. And anxiety is not always an evil or sinful thing, right? When we face the loss of a loved one, or when we are confronted with a grievous illness, or when relationships are shattered, or when we find ourselves unemployed or out of resources, these moments of worry and concern are not merely signs of weakness. No, they are often signals that this world is fallen and in need of God's grace. And let us remember that even in our most anxious moments, these feelings serve to remind us of our need to fix our minds on Christ. When we experience times of suffering, we are called to lament. We are called to cry out to Jesus. It's okay to say, "Where are you, O Lord? I need your help. I can't do this on my own." It is right and appropriate that our anxiety drives us to lament so that we can cry out to Jesus. For it is in these moments that our faith is tested and strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Lament is the proper response to God when our hearts are weighed down by worry. That's a good response. Problems arise, and when we overreact to life's trials by worrying, when we begin to believe that there is no hope for change, that's when things go wrong. We worry about things beyond our control, and those anxieties reveal the true state of our hearts. When our affections are rightly ordered, focused on the Lord, peace reigns within us. We can face trials with confidence, trusting that God is in control of tomorrow. When unruly passions take over, desiring to control every outcome, trying to predict what the world holds tomorrow, that's when anxiety takes root. Because negative self-talk whispers, you are the one who is still in control. That control tower that you're sitting in is safe and sound. Don't worry. Rightful anxiety should lead us to lament, to cry out to God in our distress. An ill-placed anxiety drives us inward, prompting us to pray only to ourselves. And I like how Andrew Wilson puts it, anxiety is what happens when you pray to yourself. When we pray to ourselves, we awaken misguided imagination. We envision a future that has not yet unfolded. And this act is no different from the self-help teachings that echo through society. Repeat to yourself, you are the captain of your own ship. I will not lead, I will lead, not follow. And here we are like Adam in the garden, grasping the steering wheel while God is still in control. God keeps those in perfect peace whose mind are stayed on him. When God's word is rooted deep within our hearts, it helps us to battle against negative self-talk and doubt. And do you remember the memory verse for this series? Proverbs 4:23. Trust in him. That's not the one. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Proverbs 4:23. We are called to guard our hearts. We must train our hearts to resist the feelings that build up when we face bad news. When our hearts urge us to rely solely on ourselves, to trust in our own wisdom, and to do what is right in our own eyes, we are called to stand firm in the Lord and resist that temptation. And Paul says that over and over to the Philippians, stand firm. Why are we called to stand firm? Because anxiety leads to all kinds of problems. Anxiety negatively impacts our bodies. Our hearts race, our breath quickens, or becomes hard to control. Our muscles tighten. And we feel that tightness in our neck and our shoulders. We may even begin to sweat. We have that uneasy feeling in our stomach. I personally felt some of these effects while preparing this message for you this morning. I don't want anyone here to suffer under the burden of anxiety. I don't want to be anxious. Remind me of the big idea that only a heart and mind firmly fixed on our Lord and King, Christ Jesus, can calm my anxious heart. Remind me of that. Let's ask God to help us be mindful of those who are struggling with anxiety. Let's show them compassion and pray for their relief, trusting that God will hear our prayers. I had an encounter with a man on an airplane. A lot of my encounters happen in airports. And we were both sitting in the back of the airplane. He was across the aisle from me. And I could see that he was distressed. His arms were squeezing the armrests. He was back in his chair, just looking straight forward. It looked like there was terror in his eyes. And I asked him, "Is everything okay?" He said, "This is my first time flying. I'm scared." And in the way that I talk to sometimes lighten the mood, I said, "I hope you know Jesus." And the lady next to him started laughing out loud, and she says, "This is my first time flying, and I know Jesus." And he giggled a little bit. And I can just only imagine his self-talk. It must have been something like, "Hey, you're in control of this situation. Hold on tight. You got this. You can do it. Find the power within." When we fail to trust that our sovereign God is in control, our bodies react in ways that are far from peaceful. The good news, our Lord Jesus desires to calm our anxious hearts. So when God instructs us to not be anxious about anything, he lovingly provides us with the remedy, the solution. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And prayer is just talking with God. It's just a conversation with God. And when you are talking with him, believe that he hears you. Believe that he is listening attentively to you. Because God desires us to come before him, to share our deepest feelings, our fears, and our anxieties. Approach him with sincere supplication, with an earnest plea, a deep and humble plea, a deep and humble lament. In all humility, approach God and ask for help. Be vulnerable with God. He knows exactly what you are going through. Do that right now if you need to. I can imagine what you are going through. Kids in school, trying to be perfect. Or maybe you hurt your knee, or you fell down, or you had a bad accident. Or a family member is in the hospital. Cast your anxiety upon the Lord. Do it right now. Ask him to calm your anxious heart. Psalm 62:8. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And give him thanksgiving. Reflect on the goodness of our Lord, his mercy, how he has answered your prayers in the past, and how he has faithfully carried you through every single trial. Remember his provision and his steadfast love towards you. Hopefully, once again, I haven't made it seem as if praying at all times and rejoicing always is always easy. Now, sometimes prayer is a challenge. There are moments when we kneel before God and don't know what to say, or we feel disconnected from his presence. We might not even trust God in this very moment. That's why we're going to have a new Equip class on prayer called Praying with Paul. It starts in 2 weeks on Sunday mornings at 9:15 a.m. So Praying with Paul in the Education Center across the lawn. Had to throw that in there. Let's make our request be made known to God so that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There is refuge in God. When our hearts are burdened with anxiety, we find peace as we lay everything before the Lord in prayer. So let me attempt to clarify this. It doesn't always mean that God will alter your current circumstances, but it does mean at least this, that he will be with you in them. Because when you fix your eyes on Jesus, when you focus on him, he will calm your anxious heart. I mean, when you read the Gospel of John, chapters 14 through 17, all you hear about is God's peace, how he is praying for his people. If you get a chance, go over those, read those. Read the Gospel of John. He will calm your anxious heart. As I meditated on this passage, I thought about a time when I went into the doctor's office. I had to go to the cardiologist. I was sent by my doctor to go to the cardiologist because my cholesterol levels were really high. They're supposed to be below 200. They were at 400. So I was anxious, and I'm explaining things to the doctor. My thoughts are everywhere. I'm spewing out a stream of chaotic sentences. And the doctor, straight across from me, Rebecca is here with me. It's a funny moment. He takes his index finger, and he points it at me and hits my nose. Boop! I'm thinking inside, did that just happen? Like, I'm supposed to do funny things like that. And it calmed and quieted my soul. That little trick calmed my soul. What is troubling your soul right now? This is where we close our eyes. Not in a funky way, like stay awake. It's not an invitation to sleep. We close our eyes and imagine this peace that surpasses all understanding. A peace that can calm the storms of your anxious heart. And think of the Prince of Peace, King Jesus. Yes, King Jesus, the one who spoke to the great windstorm and waves and said, "Peace, be still." Imagine him right now looking into your troubled soul and saying, "Shh, be still." Christian, you are a child of the Most High God. Bring your worries before him in prayer. For he alone has the power to calm your anxious heart. Let's remind one another, let me remind you, that Jesus does not tell us to chant, "Peace, peace, peace," as some magic incantation. No, he promises to be with us in every trial, every storm, and he will give you that peace that surpasses all understanding. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve walked with God, unashamed, in perfect harmony, wholeness, and oneness with God. They knew no doubt. They didn't know what anxiety was. There were no worries. And they only experienced doubt and anxiety when they disobeyed God. And they realized that they were separated from Him. Sin separates us from the presence of God. But our God, full of mercy and grace, made a way for rebellious sinners like you and me to come back into relationship with Him. And if you haven't yet called upon Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I urge you right now to cry out His name and confess that Jesus is Lord. Because without Jesus, you are experiencing a pseudo-peace, a false peace. You're experiencing a counterfeit peace that only leaves you lost and separated from God. But the good news is that God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, Jesus. And this Jesus lived a sinless life. He died on the cross for our sins, for yours and for mine. And He was buried. And on the third day, He rose again, victorious over death. Victorious over death. And He is now seated at the right hand of the Father. And guess what? He's coming back. He's coming back to judge the living and the dead. So now is the time. Now is the time to be reconciled to God. Repent of your sins. Ask for His mercy. Trust in Jesus as the Savior of your soul. By fixing your mind on Jesus, your anxious heart will be calmed. And because God is with us, we are now empowered to move from this faith in Christ to practice these things, to put our faith into action. We not only rejoice in the Lord always and always pray, we move from faith to action. Verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Let's remember that the very things we think about shape the course of our lives. As Matthew Bingham, the author of A Heart Aflame for God, wisely reminds us, our reality is profoundly shaped by what we give our regular, sustained attention. When we focus our mind on God's Word, on what is honorable, just, pure, lovely, and commendable, our faith in God is strengthened. Thinking on these divine qualities draws us closer to our Heavenly Father, illuminating our hearts and guiding our steps on the path of righteousness. Holy and heavenly thoughts help us to believe that God is good. When we set our minds on things that are excellent and worthy of praise, we align ourselves with godly purposes, with God's divine purpose. And this is in stark contrast to the enemies of the cross of Christ that Paul spoke of, who had their minds set on earthly things, unholy passions, fleshly desires, and worldly pursuits rather than the Spirit of God. In the gospel, according to Luke, Jesus said, the good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Stay with me because Sometimes this is where we might begin to tune out, stay awake. In Mark's gospel, Jesus reminded us, "For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All of these things come from within, and they defile a person." So let's be mindful to focus on the opposite of evil. We are to think holy, righteous thoughts. We think about what is true, that our God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, that he is the triune God, that he is merciful, that his steadfast love endures forever, that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Those are true. Let's set our minds on things that are honorable. Let's live lives above reproach. Let's think about things that are lovely, like doing all things without grumbling or disputing, like loving our neighbors as ourselves, serving others, showing hospitality, and caring for one another. Let's think about lovely things. When we focus on what is just and righteous, we remember to consider others more significant than ourselves. We remember to protect those who can't protect themselves. We remember to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Thinking on these things gives us confidence in Christ and strengthening our faith. It makes our faith real. Our faith is made alive even more when we put our faith into practice. Verse 9, "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Paul is reminding the Philippians to imitate his faith and to put into practice all that they have learned. We are called not just to be hearers of the word, but to be doers also. And we should imitate those who have trained their hearts to resist the sinful passions that so easily entangle us. Remember, the God of peace is with those who faithfully put their trust into action. He is with you as you move into putting your faith to practice. The world around us tells us to practice talking to ourselves and to chant the empty one-liners in hopes of finding inner peace. It would have you practice 7 steps to stop worry from stopping you. Instead, I'm going to leave you with a different message. 5 biblical steps to help us keep our minds steadfast on Christ. First, react to worry by rejoicing in the Lord. Play the TBC song list and sing your favorite hymns out loud. Second, respond to anxiety with thankful prayer. Remind yourself of his goodness. Third, fix your thoughts on heavenly, godly virtues. Think about the things of heaven. Fourth, imitate godly men and women. Ask them how they deal with anxiety. Talk to me, talk to one of our elders, talk to a faithful brother and sister in Christ, and learn how they battle with anxiety. Fifth, we lament. We cry out to God, and we don't let anxiety linger. We cry out to God today. Fix your mind on Jesus. These are the words of Jesus. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. We rejoice and pray because Jesus is near to us, and put our faith into action because God has promised that he will be with us always." So if there was a big idea that the world had for us, it would be to fix your mind on yourself and control your anxiety. But our big idea is fix your mind on Christ and calm your anxious heart. Fix your mind on Christ and calm your anxious heart. Let's pray.